Matthew 28. Jesus had already risen from the grave, and he was getting ready to speak to his disciples about what they were to do. And he called them to a mount where he was going to meet them. And in verse 16 of chapter 28, we read this. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Isn't that amazing? That is the commission. That is the mission that the Lord has given to the church. We are not exempt from that mission. And there are things that stand out there that are vital for us as we go into Missions Month. I think it's important for me to say that when I became the lead pastor at Living Word Chapel, that we used to have a slogan of a community of caring Christians. And it was wonderful. It was a great slogan. And the Lord impressed on my heart at that time that we need to change that to a slogan which was mission-minded, grace-led. And we had that model because I believe that you will become what you stand for, right? You will become what your thesis is. And that was kind of the thesis, the culture that we wanted to produce. And at that time, we started to go places that we had never gone before. We partnered with ministries that we had never partnered before. We did not have the missions mentality that we have now at that time. Did you find it? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Give Becca a big hand. Sorry, guys. Just let me make it bigger. So we had this mentality that we were going to be mission minded. We were going to be grace led, and until you make up your mind to make missions a priority, what happens is that you stay in one place, and you think that the mission of the church is to come and sit it on Sunday mornings or Thursday evenings or whatever services are being held. You think that the mission is for you to come and sit and listen to a person speak to you, and then you leave and say that was a wonderful message, or you leave saying that was a horrible message. Whatever you decipher, but that's never been the mission that God has given to the church. It's always been to go and make disciples with grace. The Apostle Paul helps us here, because the Apostle Paul said this: "I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle." An apostle is one who is sent with authority, okay? "I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of the other apostles. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God that was in me that helped me to accomplish all the things that I have accomplished." And so it teaches us something very important, that it is grace that has us be able to stand in the presence of the Almighty God, but it's his grace that also leads us to stand in others and talk about the Creator of the universe and the goodness of what he does and how he changes lives and how he can make a difference in every person that he brings us into contact with. And so I want us to look at some takeaways. And here are the takeaways. The Great Commission always comes with a charge. I charge you, right? And that charge is for us to go to the nations, for us to go out beyond the four walls of a church. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I want you to go. And so when we go with the authority of God. And let me tell you something that's important to you, because it's very important to me. There was a time in my life when I started walking with Jesus that I didn't understand how important his authority is. And the longer that I've walked with him, the more that I've seen his hand providentially move in and through my life, the more that I have seen that there is nothing that can hold Jesus back in our lives. There is no people group that are unreachable. There's no social class that's beyond the Lord. There's no ethnicity that he doesn't care about. And there's nothing that can stop the hand of God. If you look around our country, there are revivals all over the place. If you look around the world, there are revivals happening all over the place. Right now, there's a major revival going on in Brazil. And the reason for that is because God cares about Brazilians. There's a major revival going on in China, underground. The reason for that is because God cares about people in China. There's major revivals going on in the south side of Tucson. There's major revivals going on in Kearney right now. Why? Because someone cared enough to go there with the message of Jesus. And also understanding that when we go with authority. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, it says that, Peter and John, they were ministering, and they had already got in trouble for ministering in the name of Jesus. And then the people that were opposed them, the religious leaders, they said this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And how many of you in here are maybe ordinary? Can I tell you that I'm an ordinary person? There's nothing great about James Reese. The only thing great about me is that Jesus Christ has saved my life. And I know that to be true. So it says there that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So great things happen to people that spend time with Jesus. Great things happen with people that make him their Lord and Savior. Great things happen when you believe his words to be true. And when people begin to see the changed and transformed life in you, they want that for themselves. Because people, what I've come to find out, people without God are broken. People without God, they're plagued with anxiety. They're plagued with fears. They're plagued with circumstances that are bigger than them. But what I've come to also realize is that people that follow Jesus and make Jesus their priority, that though they may have circumstances, he's bigger than the circumstance. Though they may have chaos around them, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. More and more I find that. So wouldn't you want your friends or your family or your neighbors or your community to have the peace that you have? To have the joy that only God can provide? To have the love that as Brian said when we started the service, that, you know, to love the unlovables. You can't love the unlovables without the power of Jesus. Amen? And the reason that we have it, the reason that we, despite the opposition, is because all authority belongs to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And you know where Jesus dwells in every person who follows Jesus? He dwells in our hearts. He's with us. He's in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he's called us to go and make a difference in our world. And as long as I am the pastor at Living Word Chapel, as long as I am a servant leader at Living Word Chapel, we will go where we thought we'd never go before. We will continually just be going forth. As we have different leaders in missions ministry come in the next 4 weeks, we are going to see the hand of God moving in each one of them, but we partner with them. We actually want to go and be a help to them. We know who they are. We're not just sending money someplace, which Americans do. They just send money someplace. We want to be a part of what God is doing someplace. Amen? And that means that we all have to come together. And so we go, and the Great Commission is intended to make disciples. So we're not just going for a reason. We're getting ready to go to Dominican Republic. We have a director, founder of a school there. He'll be here the last Sunday of September. And they're doing an amazing work. We're getting ready to make a trip over there to see what they're doing to partner with them. We have a team that just got back from Guatemala, and they went there, but they didn't go for the sole reason of, hey, let's make a trip to Guatemala. And they paid their way up there. They went there to make disciples. They went there to give people the love of God and for them to embrace the love of God and become little Jesuses. Because can I tell you that in Guatemala or Central America or South America or Mexico or wherever you go, can I tell you what they need is not America. What they need is Jesus. What I've come to find out is when I started walking with the Lord, what I thought I needed, like more money, more prestige, more influence, all the things that people are seeking as success, that's not what I needed. What I needed was I needed God. I needed Jesus. So we go to make disciples so that they can become Christ-like, and it'll change their life. The president of El Salvador, which the crime rate was probably the highest in the world, the president of El Salvador, when he came in, a young guy, I forget his name, I'll bring it next week, he took over. And he said, first thing we need to do, he brought all the leaders together, his cabinet together, and he said, what we need to do is we need to pray to God, because only God can change our country. And he began to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you what happened? It flipped the crime rate over there, where they were at the top of the highest crime, and now they're four times safer than the United States of America. Can I tell you? Because God changes lives. God changes countries. God changes people. Therefore, go and make disciples is what Jesus said. And when you begin to grab a hold of that, and you understand that that's exactly what God has called us to do. And then the third thing that we find in this scripture, this passage, is the Great Commission is always accompanied with people getting water baptized. Why do we put such an emphasis at Living Word Chapel about baptism? The reason we do is because the Bible puts an emphasis on getting water baptized. Something special happens when people get water baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows everybody that you're saved. You publicly make a declaration that I am going into the water, into the death of Jesus, and I'm rising out of the water into a new life because Jesus lives. And so you begin to walk in that. Why are we having this big worship event here at Living Word Chapel coming up in October, the week after our men's retreat? We're having this big worship event, praise and worship. Number one is because God inhabits the praises of his people. So that's pretty biblical, amen? And then we're having baptisms. And can I tell you, those baptisms that we're going to be celebrating are not just for Living Word Chapel people, it's for anyone who will come in to this campus who says, I need Jesus as my Savior. It's we're going to believe that we're going to baptize many, 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 many people, because then we know they're putting their faith in Jesus. The way that I know that people have put their faith in Jesus is because they get baptized. Are you with me? That's how we know. So baptism is actually an outward expression of what you've done inwardly, and it accompanies everything that God has called us to do. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's what Jesus told the apostles that they should be doing. It's what Jesus tells the church that we should be doing. Peter, preaching his first sermon, remember before the sermon that he preaches in Acts chapter 2, he had denied Jesus three times. So we went from someone that was a denier of Jesus to someone that was a confident proclaimer of Jesus. And he preached this message that was so powerful that 3,000 people ask them, what do we need to do? We want to change our life. We want for you to tell us what the next step is. And if you read Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Repentance, metanoia, is just you change your mind, you change direction, you're walking away from God, now you walk toward him. That's what repent is. It's having a change in your direction in your life. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that says a lot to me right there, because it tells me that when we give our life to Jesus, that we have the presence of God with us for the rest of our lives. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells me. See, I'm a different person today because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. So does every other believer. It's what separates you from everybody else. It's Moses telling God, when he was going to lead the people of Israel, saying, unless you go with me, I'm not going. I can't lead these people without your presence being with me. Now the fulfillment of that is when you receive Jesus as your Savior, he takes you out of your Egypt, your bondage, and guess what? He goes with you everywhere you go. The Holy Spirit makes his abode in you. He makes his home in you. And he begins to direct us, and you begin to be led in the Christ things. You begin to discern his voice. You begin to read your Bible, and the Bible begins to open up, because that's what God does in our lives. Here's number four, the fourth thing. The Great Commission will always emphasize the importance of teaching people to obey the commands of Jesus. And that's exactly what happens here. Is you should be hearing more about what Jesus says and about what James 3 says. Every healthy church is going to be talking about the things of God, so that the things of God begin to permeate our minds and our hearts. His word filters out the filth. His word helps us with toxicity. It helps us to walk a life that's pleasing to him. Jesus told his disciples, he says, go and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And what I've come to find out about Jesus is he doesn't put anything on us that's burdensome. He takes our yoke and our burdens and gives us his. And his yoke is easy, and his burdens are light. And I've come to find out in all the years that I've been walking with the Lord that the walk that I have with Jesus is the best walk I've ever had. And that's why it's so easy for me to share him with other people. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to teach the oracles of God? Why wouldn't I teach the great things of God? Because they are God's word. Now, if I was telling you about, you know, Walmart, or if I was telling you about Home Depot, I mean, that's okay. It's going to help you, and it's going to benefit you in different areas of your life. But if I tell you about the word of God, it's going to help you in eternal things. It's good for this life and the life to come. Are you with me? So the more that we internalize the word of truth, the more truth that we have in our life to discern all the false that's in the narrative of our world right now. And the deeper that Living Word Chapel gets in his word, the deeper that we allow his word to not only permeate our life, but actually for that word to actually be a part of who we are and what we do, the more that the world around us is going to be drawn to the goodness of God. Because there's nothing good in James Reese except for Jesus. But because of Jesus being in James Reese, there's a lot of good. Are you with me? And that leads me to go to other people. So here's the thing. He takes all the difficulty out of what the excuses that we make. What am I going to say to people? What am I going to do when I go to people that God has sent in me. Well, he tells you what to do. You make disciples, and then you baptize them. And what am I going to say? I'm going to say the words of God. And did you notice that when I started out, maybe the Lord allowed this to happen. So this is for you, people that are watching online, brothers and sisters that are watching online, or friend. Maybe the Lord allowed for me not to have my notes, and for Becca to amazingly look for my notes for me. But what did the Lord have our sister in Christ do? She went to the Word and brought me her Word. Because the Word is what's important. Amen? And if you got the Word, then you can teach people to observe what Jesus wants us to observe. And if we learn to observe the things that Jesus taught, you're transferred from death to life. You're transferred out of chaos to peace. You go from darkness to light. You go from addiction to self-control. All of these things I can actually say that I've experienced chaos, but I have experienced his peace. I've experienced addiction and the lack of self-control, and I can tell you right now that by his grace, I walk in self-control. I've lived in dark places. I've frequented dark places. But can I tell you something? The light's so much better. And so we teach people because it makes them better. Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right. That's why we teach the things of Christ. Amen? That's why this is not a social club. That's why the church should never be a place where I scratch itchy ears, where I tell people what they want to hear, but where I speak the word of God that does not change. It speaks to us about gender, gets gender right. It speaks to us about prejudices and biases and gets that right. In Christ, there's neither slave nor free. There's neither Gentile or Jew. All of us are one in Jesus. It takes all the prejudice out. There's no rich or poor. We're all rich in Christ. Amen? You won the lottery when you named Jesus as your Savior. So when I go to different places, like when we go to the Dominican, and I know I'm going to be speaking at the Dominican, guess what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with the good news of Jesus. And that doesn't change. It didn't change when I spoke the good news of Jesus to a superintendent at the mine who gave their life to the Lord the last day that I was there. It did not change from the professor, the cultural anthropology professor at Central Arizona College when I got the degree right there, and she heard the good news and then came and gave her life to Jesus as an agnostic atheist. The word of God doesn't change. It will avail everything that God has called it to avail. And here's the last thing that I want us to kind of look at. And then I'm going to invite Karen up here. The Great Commission comes with confidence that we can be assured that God is always with us. God is always with us. God never leaves you high and dry. No matter where you go, no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what situation you're in, God is always there. Jesus said, go and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a great assurance right there. Whatever you're going through, you need to know that if Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, you're not alone. No matter what you're facing. If you're here today and Jesus is not your Lord and your Savior, I would invite you to make him your Lord and Savior. I would invite you, encourage you to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. because he'll change you.